Let's see, we're in Lamentations. Lamentations. So we have a handout on Lamentations. In fact, that those that do deny the preservation of Scripture, they're in a hopeless situation. They're hoping to find the words someday. How would we ever know what the Lord is saying here? So, anyway. They call it the fading mirage of the words of God. What a terrible situation. All right, we're in Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3. And written by Jeremiah. So Jeremiah wrote the book of Jeremiah, wrote the book of Lamentations. He probably wrote 1 and 2 Kings. And so anyway, we're in chapter 3. Now, remember, the whole book of Lamentations is an acrostic based on the Hebrew alphabet. And what Jeremiah is doing here, he's giving us the A to Z to the sorrow, lamenting of the fall of Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem was and it is and will be the greatest city in human history. Our heavenly home is called the New Jerusalem. At the end of the tribulation, only one city will be left standing. That's the city of Jerusalem. At the end of the tribulation, all the cities, New York, Detroit, the great metropolis of Cromwell, all are gone. And so, but Jerusalem will be still around. So anyway, here we see the lament of the fall here. And so we're here in the tail end of the book. So if you recall, I've given you the outline up the top for this section of the chapter 3. So there's the heartache of the prophet, verses 1 through 9. Paralleling our section now here, the help of the prophet, 55-66. The heartache and the help. Parallel thoughts there in the chiastic structure is the humility of the prophet, verse 10 through 18. This parallels the humility of the prophet in verse 43 to 54. And in the centerpiece of all this is the hope of the prophet. That's verses 19 through 42. So we dealt with that last time or so. And so we see a chiastic structure. This is not something forced on the scripture. This is the way it flows. You just have to look for the flow. I'm the one who gives H words here, but whatever you want to see here, you can see these segments. As this takes us in, he has a heartbreak. He's humbled by what the Lord's done. This takes us to when he's down at the bottom of the ditch, the dungeon, you might say. Is there any hope for him? The hope for him is the Lord. It's the only hope we have in this life. Right. And so here we see the centerpiece, the hope of the Lord. The hope of the prophet, rather, in the Lord. And then, as he pulls us out, he's back to his humility. See, so hope is right in the center of humility. He's humbled. He's got hope. He's still humbled. So hope in the Lord doesn't necessarily take us out of the humility, but we do have hope in the humility of the catastrophes that may come. And then finally, he's back here from heartache to help of the prophet. So we're going to focus on the help of the prophet, this point here. Remember, every three verses start with the succeeding letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So this is a brilliant piece written by the Lord. Jeremiah just happens to be the prophet who wrote these down. And in all this, the major tragedy of this is that Israel had everything. So as I recall, remind you that the Lord called Abraham to the promised land. And then he gave the promised land ultimately to Joshua to conquer. We're told that of the three sons of Noah, the Shemites were those that were to carry on the religion, the spirituality, the worship of Jehovah. And so they had that privilege. They had a privilege being in the land, having been the religious, theological watchdogs for God's truth. And they had the blessing of the power of the Lord around the whole land there. We go through David and Solomon. Solomon built the most beautiful building ever created. That was the temple. And so they had everything. They had absolutely everything. And what did they do with it? They despoiled it. They destroyed it. And so so here is the ongoing message, that if we're not careful, we take the blessings that we have of the Lord, and if our hearts are not right, what's going to happen? The blessings, we're going to get worse, and the blessings will dry up. What happens? So anyway, we're going to look here. So here, the help of the prophet. Organize this around several words here. The response concerning the Lord. The rescue of the Lord. The realization of the Lord. And the recompense by the Lord. All right, so here in this section here, we notice, first of all, response concerning the Lord, verse 55-57. So he said, I called upon thy name, O Lord, out of the low dungeon. Thou hast heard my voice. Hide not thine ear at my breathing, at my cry. Thou drewest near in the day that I called upon thee, and saidest, fear not. So here we see, first of all, response concerning the Lord. Now we notice here in the passage, Jeremiah says, I called, and he was in a dungeon. So this is referring to the man. So here we have the man who represents the city, representing the people, representing only the Lord. All right? But not everybody in Jerusalem was in a dungeon, but Jeremiah was. So he's the one. So we see this gets personal, and then it goes back to the city and back and forth in all of this. So we have to ask who's speaking here. But certainly this is Jeremiah speaking at this point. Now he's using the Kof letter. It's a Q, but a Q has a K sound to it. And consequently, since there are several K sounds or C sounds in Hebrew, somewhere along the line in language, the Q letter was given a U behind it, so we have a qui sound rather than a K sound coming from the Kof. So that's part of the language. Why that happened, when that happened, we're not sure. But the K sound of the Kof later on took a U behind it, so now we have a qui sound rather than a hard C or K sound. That's just language observation. But at least you're getting some observation on that. But anyway, so here he's using the word kara. That's a word for cry. By the way, our English word cry comes from kara. Some of these things just can't help. You might think that the Hebrew was the original language if you're not careful. All right, so so Jeremiah responded concerning his plight. He called. So here's the expression, I called. It's all one word, starting off verse 55. I called upon thy name, O Lord, out of the low dungeon. So notice he called on the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord here is Jehovah. He called upon Jehovah. That was the name he gave, a special theological and a spiritual religious name he gave to his chosen people. The Gentiles have the word God for triune Godhead, but no, the Lord gave a special name for the triune Godhead, and that is Jehovah. All three members of the triune Godhead in the Old Testament have the Jehovah connected with them in different passages. So this is the name. So we Gentiles, if we didn't have the Old Testament, all we could talk about would be God. But the Jews had the name Jehovah. The name Jehovah is important to the Lord. I call upon thy name, O Lord, or the word behind Lord. Whenever you see in the King James, L-O-R-D in all caps, the word Jehovah is behind that. All right, so anyway, he called upon his name. So his divine name. Different passages connect a name and Lord. I'll give you several here. For instance, Psalm 7, 7:17, Psalm 7:17 is one of numerous passages that we notice here. I will praise the Lord, that's Jehovah, according to his righteousness, and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Notice, not just sing praise to the Lord, but sing praise to the name of the Lord. All right, so a lot of psalm books now are changing the name of the Lord to God, or I don't know if they change it to Yahweh yet or not, but now we're singing praise to the Lord, or sing praise to Jehovah. And I think Jehovah's in some of the songs that we sing, right? Yeah. All right, so anyway, and then Jeremiah 15:16. Jeremiah said, let's notice in verse 15, first of all, O Lord, thou knowest, remember me and visit me and revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in thy long suffering. Know that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke. It's Jeremiah speaking. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was in unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord, God of hosts. So he called upon the name of the Lord, and he was called by the name of the Lord. So he was a Jehovahite, you might say. That's what we want to be, Jehovahites. All right. And we witness for Jehovah too, but that's different. All right. All right, so next then, his dungeon hold. Not only his divine help, but his dungeon hold. Notice here he says, out of the low dungeon. So apparently there was the cut in the ground, and there were cabins or cells in the dungeon, and then he says the low dungeon, so maybe this was the lowest room in the dungeon, but called out of the low dungeon here. So we've seen this several times, but Jeremiah 37 once again. And verse 16, so these pages in your Bible, I'll start falling open at these points. But the dungeon, 37:16. When Jeremiah was entered into the dungeon and into the cabins, and Jeremiah remained there many days. So he's in one of the rooms or cabins of the dungeon. And remember, he back in chapter 38, verse 7, Ebed-Melech finds out he's going to die there and asks for relief on Jeremiah. So here in verse 16, he's in the dungeon. Maybe he's referring to this. This is when I was in the low dungeon, I cried to the Lord. So can the Lord hear prayers deep down to the ground in a dungeon? Sure. Yeah, and so he cried. And what did the Lord do? The Lord raised up Ebed-Melech. He was an Ethiopian. So he's a servant. He's an Ethiopian. He's a eunuch, just like we saw there in Acts chapter 8 on Sunday. And so such a person of low standing in society. And yet the Lord used him to be the answer to prayer for Jeremiah. All right. And so that's what the Lord does. He uses the lowlifes of society to do his work. All right, so anyway, we see that. Then next in verse 56, thou hast heard my voice, so the word kol here, for voice, hide not thine ear at my breathing, at my cry. And so here he's has his prayer, and the expression my voice is the Hebrew word that starts this off. He's breathing, he's speaking to the ear. Hide not thine ear. So remember, ear here is in the singular, so he's as if the Lord is turning his head and pointing his ear towards Jeremiah's mouth, as if Jeremiah is speaking into one ear of the Lord. That's the figure that we have here. And then verse 57, thou drewest near in the day that I called upon thee, and thou saidest, fear not. So here Jeremiah responded about the presence of the Lord. He drew near. Karav is the word behind that, again starting with the kof, but he drew near. So the nearness of the Lord. So down in that deep, dank dungeon, the Lord was present. He was present there. And he drew near, and he told him, it's probably dark down there too, so deep, dark, dank dungeon, right? Got that? And he said, fear not. Fear not. So several verses here. We recall Hebrews 13. So it's a good passage to visit on a regular basis, Hebrews 13. Paul said and wrote this, remember, when he was in prison. So here's a good prison verse. Keep that in mind. So here in Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. And so here, this promise of the Lord's nearness. And then he told him, fear not. Now, if you recall back there in chapter 1 of Jeremiah, the phrase doesn't show up here, but it's still the essence of this. And so the Lord does say there in Jeremiah 1:8, be not afraid of their faces. Remember that? You go and preach in the temple, you'll have a great crowd there, and they will hate you. They want to kill you. And don't be afraid of their faces, though. And so here, basically, he's saying, fear not, but in a different phraseology here. So the Lord told him to fear not. And so what does the believer have to fear, really? What does he have to fear? So here we see Jeremiah, and he's his response concerning the Lord. Secondly, his the rescue of the Lord, verse 58:60. It says, O Lord, now notice in this expression here, the spelling of Lord here is Adonai. O Lord, a different word, you don't have all caps. Thou hast pleaded the causes of my soul, thou hast redeemed my life. It says, O Lord, thou hast seen my wrong, judge thou my cause. All right, and then 60 here, let's see. 58, 59, 60, thou hast seen all their vengeance and all their imaginations against me. So here he mentions that thou hast seen twice in this case. All right. So in this case, the rescue of the Lord, Jeremiah received redemption from the Lord, where the Lord has pleaded for him. The word plead there is rib or rib, R-I-B is the way that could be translated there. And this is where we get the English word ribbed. Somebody ribs you. Usually it's in a positive way. They rib you about something, make fun of you, or, you know, kid around with you. But it's also used in a negative way. A negative way. And so we get that word. But the Lord was pleading for his cause. It's translated cause in Jeremiah 20, verse 12, for that matter. So here, he's the one who pleads. It's as if he sometimes is acting as the judge and he's pleading a cause of somebody, as in this case. All right, then the furthermore, we notice here in 58, thou hast pleaded the causes of my soul, thou hast redeemed my life. All right, redeemed my life. So, obviously, he's already redeemed in the soteriological sense. But the Lord has helped him and delivered him. The word there is goel, as he's the one who's redeemed or pardoned and taken care of by the Lord. So the Lord basically delivered him. He redeemed him from that situation. Secondly, Jeremiah received retribution from the Lord. Thou hast seen. We have, so he says here in 59, O Lord, thou hast seen my wrong. Judge thou my cause. So in what way did he have wrong? Well, maybe he's thinking about his reluctance. Remember that back in chapter 1. He didn't want to preach. He couldn't preach. He was too young. And maybe along the way, yeah, you know, I told you, Lord, I can't preach. The Lord said, I'll put words in your mouth. Don't worry about it. And then also, if you recall, in chapter 20, this is when he complained to the Lord. And he said to the Lord, thou hast deceived me. The Lord never deceived him. He's thinking, you deceived me because I was thinking when you called me to preach that people would respond, things go good, and oh, wait a minute, it hadn't worked out this way at all. Look at my following, zero. I've been deceived. No, the Lord never deceived him. So maybe this is the wrong. Maybe he's reflecting on this. Maybe these are issues that continued on with him. Now, one thing about the book of Jeremiah, when Jeremiah is alone with the Lord, he's very frank and somewhat brutal with the Lord. But when he's out there in the public preaching, he is always very defensive of the Lord, and you never see a break in him at all. So you look for that when you go through the book of Jeremiah. He's strong for the Lord when he's in public, but in private, he's frank with the Lord. And the Lord allowed him to do that. But he did have wrong. All right, so then next we see in verse 60, Jeremiah received recognition from the Lord. So in 60, thou hast seen, so here's the same Hebrew, translated the same way, thou hast seen all their vengeance and all their imaginations against me. So, Lord saw everything that was happening to Jeremiah. And two primary individuals here would be Pashur. Remember, Pashur is the one who smit him and threw him in prison. And then Zedekiah as well, chapter 37, once again, and put him in the dungeon. So we have Jeremiah is, the Lord recognized Jeremiah's, those that were assaulting him. Then the realization of the Lord, 61-63. Thou hast heard their reproach, O Lord, and all their imagination against me. The lips of those that rose up against me and their device against, against me all the day long. Behold, they're sitting down and they're rising up. I am their music. All right, here we go. So, in this, we have the S letter, the Seen or Sheen letter. And so Jehovah realized their reproach. Thou hast heard, he says. And certainly the Lord knew what was going on. If you look back there in chapter 26 of Jeremiah, we've looked at this several times. Remember, the Lord realized their reproach against him. They said in verse 8, thou shalt surely die, when he said that judgment was coming. And the Lord came along and raised up several men who said, this man is not worthy to die. That's in verse 16, because Micah has already preached the same message, that Zion shall be plowed. And so the Lord knew the reproach, and the Lord delivered him. And remember, in this case, since he was a preacher of the word, the Lord used the word of God to deliver him. Amen. Jeremiah honored the word, and the Lord honored Jeremiah as he handled the word. And then, secondly, Jehovah realized their rabble. Here are their lips. They were going after him. They were mocking him and so on. Verse 62. The lips of those rose up against me and their device against me all the day long. He goes more in detail as well. In verse 63, behold, they're sitting down and they're rising up. I am their music. So the lips of those is our first word, heading this off with a scene. And then 63, they're sitting down, the sheen word, S word, and they're rising up, I am their music. And so here they were singing songs of mockery about him and so on. Deuteronomy 28, by the way. Remember Deuteronomy 28, the Lord promised, if you depart from me, these are the things that will happen to you. So in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 37, now, we don't have the same word here, but verse 37 is teaching the same thing. And thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all the nations whither the Lord shall lead thee. In other words, there'll be a major joke. They'll just nations will joke about them and laugh at them. And they become their music. They'll sing songs of derision about the Jews and about Jeremiah as well. And so we have the Lord realized their rancor towards him. He became a byword. He became a joke. Realization of the Lord about their attitude towards Jeremiah. And then finally, the recompense by the Lord, verse 64 to 66. So Jehovah recompensed their work. Here, so in this case, he gives a series of imperatives. They all start with the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet, the Tau, the T. Render, give, persecute. All three verses. These are imperatives that he gives here. So Jehovah recompensed their work. Render unto them recompense, O Lord, according to the work of their hands. So the Babylonians were brutal. They were brutal when they came in. They destroyed. They killed. They ravished the women. They killed, they slit the bellies of pregnant women. I mean, just a terrible, terrible behavior on their part. And in due time, they fell in the same way to the Medo-Persians. That's in Daniel chapter 5. Let's look there. So the Lord catches up with the Babylonians. Daniel chapter 5. And we have in the passage, we can look here, first part of it, verse 1, Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast to the thousand of his lords and drank wine before the thousand. And he took he used the golden and silver vessels that his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple of Jerusalem. So they're mocking Jerusalem and the very vessels that they were to use to worship the Lord, they're using now to worship their Baal and so on. But anyway, notice we there's a writing on the wall in verse 25. And this is the writing that was written, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Many, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and are found wanting. And Perez, the kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. So Perez and the Persians, Persians take their name from the Perez. The word Perez, by the way, is the root word behind parse. So what do you do when you parse a language? You split the language up into different pieces. But anyway, they came and they destroyed the Babylonians. So the Lord is going to catch up with the Babylonians in due time. Secondly, verse 65, give them sorrow of heart, I curse unto them. And so here he's asking this as well. They give a sorrow and curse upon them. And then finally, persecute and destroy them in anger from under the heavens of the Lord. And the Lord eventually answered this prayer of Jeremiah in prison, presumably. that he rendered, he gave, and he persecuted the Babylonians in due time and judged them harshly. So remember, Daniel's prophecy there was the Babylonians and the Medo-Persians and then the Grecians and then the Romans, coming all the way down to the first century. All right, so those are the four kingdoms that fell. And nevertheless, the Lord caught up with these kingdoms. But he used all these kingdoms in their due time to judge his people who had left him. All right, so we see the help of the prophet here. All right, in conclusion, the Lord dealt in judgment on Jerusalem, the Jews, Jeremiah, all of which point to Jesus who died for the benefit of the former. Now the first three, Jerusalem, Jews, Jeremiah, these all deserve the judgment. However, the Lord didn't deserve the judgment that he received. But all these are prefiguring the Lord at this point. So the Adamic race lives in a sin-cursed world, and the Lord Jesus Christ is the only hope. He's the only hope. The Jews had all the blessings of the Lord and bespoiled it all. They had it. They had everything, and they bespoiled it. Bespoiled it. Bespoil means to intensifies the spoiling of it. It's an old English word, bespoiled. All right, so here's a question. Will BBC members bespoil all their blessings? So you receive blessings in life and so on, and we've had over 125 people come through this church as members and so on, and some of them bespoiled the blessings. They're not here no longer. And so there's the possibility. Secondly, how many men have I trained who have bespoiled their privileges and blessings? So I look back over the years there and trained a lot of men, and I think some of them are out of the Lord's work. They're out of the pastorate. They're out of the ministry. They're out off the mission field because they bespoiled the blessings and privileges they had of truth. They took the wrong directions. They got involved in immorality. They got involved in the emerging church. They got involved in all types of things. And they've bespoiled a biblical foundation that they had. And this is not about me. It's about the Bible. But they've been given a biblical foundation from the Bible, and they have bespoiled all this. So it happens. And it happens quite often to young men, especially, who are interested in serving the Lord and so on. They're going along here and something comes up and they get knocked off course, and before you know it, they're in all types of wickedness. So, if this could happen to the Lord's chosen people, it can happen to anyone. And so we need to take heed in all this as well and learn the lesson here. The Lord gives believers great blessings. Wherever believers are in the world, great blessings. What's a great blessing? A great blessing is salvation. That's a great blessing. What's another great blessing? Having the Word of God. What's another great blessing? Having the Word of God by which to grow in sanctification. That's another great blessing. And then seeing the Lord's blessing in different ways, on family and finances and other ways that the Lord quite often blesses us on. But all this can be lost when our hearts are turned from the Lord. We go through the motions, and we want to do our own way and to go the way of the world, and we bespoil everything that we have. And so it happens to all. So here's a message not only to Jerusalem, but Jerusalem's come and gone. All those Jews are dead. And Babylonians are dead. Oh, that's over. That's past history. It's not just a history lesson, is it? It's a message for us today to learn from the past. So I trust that we will. Our Father, we pray you bless us. We thank you for the time to open the Word of God. We thank you for the life of Jeremiah's testimony and how you used him. I pray that you'll help us to learn from this and realize that we have so much from the Lord, and that we need to keep our hearts right with thee and honor thee and be faithful to thee, we pray. Bless us now, we ask, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.